Natasha Namukar Mantra and Arush Chatari Mangal Pat. Start.
Namo Arihantanam, Namo Siddhanam, Namo Ayaryanam, Namo Uvajhayanam, Namo Loya Savasahunam. Eso Panch Namo Gyaro, Sava Pav Panasno, Mangla Lanchya Savesim, Parmam Havai Mangalam.
Chatari Mangalam, Arhanta Mangalam, Siddha Mangalam, Sahu Mangalam, Kevali Panato Dhamo Mangalam. Chatari Lukutama, Arhanta Lukutama, Siddha Lukutama, Sahu Lukutama, Kevali Panato Dhamo Lukutama. Chatari Sarnam Pavajami, Arhanta Sarnam Pavajami, Siddha Sarnam Pavajami, Sahu Sarnam Pavajami, Kevali Panatam Thammam Sarnam Pavajami.
Excellent, very good. Okay, so we are on chapter Dev Stuti, the prayer. We are doing the prayer of Bhagwan. So, who will tell me who is Dev? Whom do we call a Dev? Jamin, definition of a Dev.
It's a Bhagwan.
It's a Bhagwan. Very good. So, Dev is Bhagwan. Means the true Dev, Bhagwan is a true Dev, right? Sacha Dev we call him. Okay, so who is Bhagwan? Arush?
Yes.
Definition. I asked him in the definition of Dev. He said Dev is Bhagwan. So, the next question comes, who is Bhagwan?
Who is Bhagwan?
Bhagwan is...
It's the definition of Bhagwan.
Bhagwan has a person that has completed knowledge, a person that he left all his bad jobs, and a person that, like, he excelled in everything.
Yeah, very good. We learned some few words, three characteristics of Bhagwan. Natasha, can you help him with one hint, any one of the characteristics of Bhagwan?
Yeah, they are Vitragi and they are Sarvajna.
Very good. Stop. Yeah, Vitragi. What else? Arush, Vitragi, do you remember something from Vitragi? Yes. Okay, you know what is Vitragi? Arush?
I think it has something to do with...
Yes.
It has something to do with the. There was a name for a palace where devas go, and pray to God. So I think Vitragi has something to do with Nandishwari.
Oh, okay, fine. Vitragi. One of the characteristics is Vitragi. So what do we mean by Vitragi, Jamin?
They have no attachment.
Arush?
Yes?
Who has no attachment? Fine,
the
very good. Arush, Vitragi is somebody who is devoid of attachments. Arush?
Yes?
Yeah, so Vitragi...
Oh.
Yeah, so Bhagwan is devoid of attachments, and this being devoid of attachments is known as being Vitragi. So Bhagwan is Vitragi. Okay? Okay, next characteristics. Yeah, say.
Okay, continue.
Okay. After Vitragi, there is Sarvagya. Who is Sarvagya, Arush?
Sarvagya
Well,
that you are, you know, one who knows everything, right?
Right.
Sure. See, there are two options. Sarvagya means one who knows everything, or Sarvagya means one who preaches the right path of liberation or right path of happiness. Which one is correct? Arush.
Number one.
That is one who teaches the right path of liberation, right?
Yes.
So Sarvagya means somebody who teaches the right path of liberation. Right?
Right.
Okay. Diya, who is Sarvagya?
Who knows everything?
Yeah, Arush, Sarvagya means who knows everything. Okay, so what is, who preach, the preacher, who, what do we call a preacher? The preacher of path of liberation, Diya.
Hitopdeshi, one who teaches life as path of liberation.
Very good, Hitopdeshi. See, listen, all of you listen, Bhagwan ni Dev. Sachcha Dev, that is true Dev. So Bhagwan is the true Dev. And who is the true Dev? The definition? One who is Vitragi, Sarvagya and Hitopdeshi is known as true Dev. Okay? So Bhagwan, who is Bhagwan? Who is Vitragi, Sarvagya and Hitopdeshi is known as Bhagwan. Okay? So what is Vitragi? So somebody who is devoid of attachments is known as Vitragi. Who is Sarvagya? Somebody who is omniscient, who knows everything, is known as Sarvagya. And who is Hitopdeshi? Who preaches for our well-being, who preaches the path of liberation to us, is known as Hitopdeshi. Am I clear? Arush, do you get me now? Or do I need to repeat it again? You're good. So who is Vitragi?
Vitragi? Well...
Yeah?
Hello? Bhagwan Vitragi. Bhagwan is Vitragi.
Yeah, Bhagwan is Vitragi, right. So what do you mean by Vitragi?
Like Vitragi? Vitragi is free.
Is
free from attachments.
Very good. Free from attachments, devoid of attachments, whose attachments have gone away. Very good. Very good, Arush. Who is Sarvagya? Natasha, who is Sarvagya?
Knows everything. Sarvagya is one who is omniscient, which means that he knows everything.
Very good. And who is Hitopdeshi, Natasha?
Hitopdeshi is someone who preaches the path to liberation.
Very good. So who preaches for our well-being? Because getting into liberation is nothing but it's for our own happiness. Right? Okay. So, very simple definition, Arush. We are... have you all opened this Stuti PPT?
Yes. I have opened it.
Everybody has? Okay. Jaimin, you have opened it? Yeah, please. Yeah. Natasha, Arush, you have opened it, right?
Yeah.
Which one?
The Dev Stuti, the poem, O God Devoid of Attachments.
We're doing it right. We
I have it.
Okay. Diya opened?
Yeah, opened.
Okay. Natasha, did you find it?
Yeah, we found it, but it's taking some time to open.
Okay, okay. Dev Stuti, slide 2. Okay, meanwhile, in the last class, we did the story. So only Diya and Arjun were present. Diya, whose story was that?
Gautam Gandhar.
Oh, Gautam Gandhar. Who was he?
He was... Who knows everything?
Okay. Okay, so whose Gandhar was he?
Mahavir Bhagwan.
He was the Gandhar of Mahavir Bhagwan. Very good. Okay, and what was his full name, if you remember? Indrabhuti Gautam. Okay, very good, Diya. Fine. Open, Natasha?
Yeah, we opened it.
Okay. On the slide number 2, we have 4 lines, right? We did these lines. So the first 2 lines are nothing but the definition of a Bhagwan or Dev. O God, devoid of attachments. So devoid of attachments is what? Devoid of attachments means what, Arush?
Devoid of attachments means you're free from
attachments. Is what? No. What do we call being devoid of attachments is being what?
Devoid of attachments is Vitaragi.
Very good. Vitaragi. Omniscient is what?
Omniscient is Sarvagi.
Very good, Sarvagya. And well-being preacher is what?
Hitopdeshi.
Excellent, Arush. Very good. So, in these 2 lines, there is the definition of whom? There is the definition of Dev. Whom? If anybody asks you who is true Dev or who is Bhagwan, so what will we say? Someone who is Vitaragi, that is devoid of attachments. Sarvagya, that is omniscient, and Hitopdeshi, that is our well-being preacher or the preacher of path of liberation, is known as Bhagwan or true Dev. Clear? It's very simple. Okay, so we'll sing the poem first, so we'll remember these 2 lines, and then in other way we'll be remembering what? The definition of Bhagwan. Okay, so who will sing today? Diya, I'll start. Diya, these 4 lines you have to sing.
Oh God, devoid of attachments, omission, our well-being preacher, let our wrong belief get destroyed by knowledge and fulfilled prayer.
Very good. Okay. Who will tell me the meaning of these 4 lines? Jaimin? Explain me these 4 lines. Jaimin, are you there?
The first line is Vitaragi. Then omniscient is Sarvagya. And our well-being preacher. And our well-being preacher is Hitopdeshi.
Very good. Then? Letter wrong belief get destroyed by knowledge and fulfilled prayer. What is this? What?
Satchadev?
Yeah, the Satchadev means true Dev, is one who is Vitaragi, Sarvagya, Hitopdeshi. This is the first 2 lines. The next 2 lines, let a wrong belief get destroyed by knowledge and fulfilled prayer. What is the meaning of these 2 lines?
Bhagwan?
Okay, wait, Arush. Wait, I mean. Natasha, can you try for the meaning of next two lines?
I think it's saying that when it says let our wrong beliefs get destroyed, it means that Dave's, the one who is a true Dave, always has like the right beliefs, and he knows what is right and what is wrong, and because he is a Dave, he only has right beliefs, and he has the right beliefs by knowledge and because of his prayers that he's done.
Okay, so let our wrong belief get destroyed. Means, how is it our wrong belief get destroyed then? Arush, can you try?
Yes, our wrong belief get destroyed means that they're asking the Dave to destroy their wrong belief.
The wrong belief of Devas. We are asking Dave to destroy their wrong belief. Oh, Bhagwan, yeah. You have this wrong belief, please destroy it. Like this. Bhagwan has wrong belief.
No.
Oh, Bhagwan has wrong belief?
No.
So... Very good, very good. I will be discussing it. I'm just asking your opinions. Very good. Yeah, Diya, what do you think the meaning of these two lines is?
They're praying to God to say that destroy our wrong belief.
Okay, destroy our wrong belief. How our wrong belief will get destroyed? By what?
By praying.
By?
Praying.
Okay, by praying. Okay, fine. By knowledge, right?
Yes.
Yes, okay. See, everybody, what we are doing here prayer, okay? We are praying to Bhagwan. So now what we are doing, in the first picture that we see, there is one Manastambha and 3-4 persons are joining their hands and standing, right? Can you see that picture? In front of this, above these four lines, there is a picture, yellow colored, right? Did you see it? Okay, so they are joining their hands. So what are they doing? They are praying, okay? What do we call this pillar that they are praying to? Anybody, Natasha, do you know what is this pillar they are standing in front of?
No, I don't know.
You have never seen such structure in our temples or somewhere?
No, never seen this structure.
Okay. Arush, you as well?
Which structure? This one. No.
Okay. What do we call it, Jamin? What do we call it?
A manekstam.
Manastambha, exactly. We did the story of Manastambha in the last class, okay? This is Manastambha. You know there are four passions, Arush? You know the name? Passions? Kashai? Four Kashais?
Yes.
Yeah, what are their names?
What are the names of the four Kashais?
Krodh, anger. Yeah,
Krodh,
anger, Krodh,
man,
very good.
Maya,
very good. Krodh, man, maya, lobh means what? Anger, then pride, then what is maya?
What is maya?
Maya means you tricked someone in a bad way.
Very good. And then what is lobh? The greed, right?
Yeah, lobh is greediness.
Very good. So these are four passions. So the second passion that is pride, man. Okay. So when we are approaching our Bhagwan, Bhagwan is supreme. He is the best thing in the world. He is Mangal, he is Uttam, and he is Charan. Right? In Chatari Mangal part, we learned that. So when we enter into his temple, we should not have any kind of pride in our hearts. So in front of our temples, generally in front of our temples, there is this Manastambha, this pillar of man, which says before you enter, you should destroy your man, you should destroy your pride. You should carry not even a single bit of man while you are going for the darshan of Bhagwan. So Manastambha is the reminder that we have to put away our pride aside while we are praying to Bhagwan. So this is known as Manastambha. Okay. So whenever you'll be going to the temple, I don't know if you in that temple where you go, if you have, but whenever you come to India, so many of the temples have Manastambha. Or I'll send you some pictures. You can see those pictures. Okay. So what does Manastambha? It has in four directions: north, east, south, west. It has four statues of Bhagwan. It's like a temple. We call it Manastambha Mandir. Okay, so we can actually bow down to it. We can do the darshan of this Manastambha, and that is what they're doing. Okay, so Manastambha is something that reminds us that we should not do any pride because we are not supreme. Bhagwan is supreme, or Vitragi Dev is supreme. Okay, so what is this pillar known as? This is known as Manastambha. Okay, don't forget this word Manastambha. I'll be asking you in the quiz, in some of the quizzes. Okay. Okay. So what we are doing here, we are praying in front of Bhagwan. So how do we pray? When we pray, we join our hands, we close our eyes, okay, and we stand up. Whatever we do, we know how to pray, right? We must be doing it in schools or somewhere. So now what we are doing, when we pray, we wish something, don't we? Natasha, whenever we pray, we wish something to happen, right? That's why we pray. Agree?
Yes.
You do you agree with me?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So now we are praying to Vitragi Bhagwan. So what we are doing, we are also making one wish. Though our Vitragi Bhagwan fulfills some wish of or they do something of our wish, Bhagwan will make us happy, right, Arush?
Yeah, right.
Bhagwan can make us happy, right?
Right.
Right, Bhagwan can make us happy. Jai Min, can Bhagwan make us happy?
Yeah.
Bhagwan can make us happy. Okay. Natasha, what do you think?
Bhagwan can make us happy. That's the question, right?
Yeah, my question is whether Bhagwan can make us happy or not.
I think no.
No. Okay. Diya, Bhagwan can make us happy?
No, because Bhagwan enjoy their happiness.
Okay, so but they have plenty of happiness, so can't they give us some of their happiness?
No.
Because Jaimin and Arush feels like Bhagwan can make us happy because they're Bhagwan, of course. They are capable of doing everything, right, Arush? So can't they make us happy? See, Bhagwan is Vitragi, right? Vitragi means somebody who's devoid of attachments. Who will make you happy? The one who will get happy while you'll be praying to him. But our Bhagwan, when we pray to them or when we do pujan of Bhagwan, our Bhagwan gets happy, right? They feel good when we pray Bhagwan and they feel bad when we don't pray Bhagwan. Is that so?
No.
Arush, is that so? Jaimin, is that so? That if we pray to Bhagwan, he is good. If we don't pray to Bhagwan, he is very angry on us that we are not praying to him. Is it the case?
No.
No. So if he is not getting happy with our prayer or getting sad with if we are not praying, then why will he fulfill our wish? Because he is Vitragi. It doesn't matter to him. He knows everything, but he does nothing because he has no connections with us. He has no intentions of doing anything to us. Because there is this rule that nobody can do anything of others. So I cannot make Arush happy. Bhagwan cannot make Arush happy. If Arush wants to be happy, he has to attain happiness by on his own. Okay? By himself only he'll be able to get happiness. No Bhagwan, whether take Mahavir Bhagwan or Rishabh Dev Bhagwan, no Bhagwan can help Arush in getting happiness. So Arth Bhagwan give us nothing. They give us nothing. Fine. Is that clear? Why they don't give us anything? Because they're Vitragi. And Vitragi means somebody who has no attachment to anybody. And without attachment, nobody does any good to anybody. Okay?
Yes.
Arush, is this clear?
Yes.
Jamin? Clear?
Yes.
Or any doubt you have? Why our Bhagwan gives nothing to us? He doesn't have anything, right? He doesn't have even clothes to wear, right? So how can he give us anything, right? Right, Jim? Hello?
Yeah?
Jamin, are you listening?
Yeah.
Why our Bhagwan don't fulfill our wishes?
Because they are Vitragi.
They are Vitragi or they have nothing. They are very poor, that's why.
They are Vitragi. Achha,
don't you all think that our Bhagwan is little poor? Our Bhagwan doesn't have even clothes to wear? Arush, don't you think?
Yes.
He is poor, you think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why he is poor? Yeah, Arush, say, we're just discussing. We are doing Dev Stuti, right? So we should know who our Bhagwan is, right? So let's understand why he's not wearing anything. You think he's very poor, right? He must not be having anything, like he couldn't afford anything, so he just left all the clothes, right, Arush?
Right.
Okay. Natasha, is that you think?
Can you repeat the question?
My question is, Bhagwan has no clothes, right? They have nothing, they have no home. Is it because they are so poor, that's why?
No.
Are they not poor?
No, they are not poor.
How do you know they are not poor? They have no clothes, they have no shelter. They have no food on their own will. They have to take food from others' home.
Bhagwan?
Muniraj. Sadhu Pomesh. Yeah, Muniraj.
I don't think they're poor because all, like, Muniraj, they pray. Like, that's what they like to do.
But they don't have anything, and Arush is of opinion that they must be not able to afford anything and therefore they left everything. Is that the case?
The only reason that they eat food is because sometimes they make like promises and stuff. But like for them, food is not like for us where we have to eat it every single day and we eat everything, like we eat different choices and stuff. For Muni Maharaj, like, their food is really simple and they just eat whenever they get it.
Wow, very good. Excellent. So my question
Excuse me?
They're not have... Yes?
This is Arjun.
Hello?
Just joined in.
Okay, Arjun. Welcome. Okay, so my question is, Arush, so
yes?
Why do you think our Bhagwan is poor? And if he is poor, why do you pray to a poor god? Why are we praying to poor God? Arush?
Yes?
Jamin, what do you think? Our Bhagwan is poor or not?
No.
Justify? I can't see any good clothes on his body. I can't see he's living in some, you know, real palace or something. How can you say that he's not poor?
Because he has attained eternal happiness.
Array, but we can't see any materialistic thing around him, can we?
Yes.
Do you find any good clothes on her? Yeah.
He is Vitragi.
So what is the cases? What are the cases with Vitragi? Arjun, it's a question to you. Who the Vitragi is? One who cannot afford the living and therefore who leaves everything, or one who just leaves everything? There should be two cases, okay? I am so poor that I cannot afford any, like, I can't afford a home, I can't afford food, and I can't afford clothes. So what I do this trick, I leave everything and I become Sadhu Parmeshti. Now it's not a tension. So I'm Vitragi. Is this the case with Bhagwan?
No, because Vitragi means that you have no attachments. And
very good, Vitragi means
if you have no attachments, then an attachment may be wealth. And if you have no attachments, you don't have an attachment to wealth. So you can't say whether he is rich or poor because he doesn't have an attachment to that.
Oh, excellent. Means what we have is why we are wearing these clothes because we have attachment to our body, and what we want to look good. So we decorate our body, right? We want to look cool, we decorate, we wear funky dresses, we wear good dresses, right? So Bhagwan, it's not the case, Arush, that Bhagwan was very poor or Bhagwan couldn't afford anything, so therefore he left everything. Our 24 Tirthankaras that we have, or any Bhagwans that we have, they all take birth in the family of kings. They all are kings. They rule, and after some time they take Diksha, they become Sadhu Parmeshti, and then they go to Moksha. They're not from general normal families. They're from from the family of kings. They're actually the kings. And then they leave everything behind. Why? Because the attachment that they used to have with those things, with their palaces, with their parents, with their wealth, that gets broken. And therefore, they leave behind everything and they become Vitragi. So never think like our Bhagwan has nothing or something. Our Bhagwan doesn't want anything to be complete, to be happy. Because he is self-sufficient in getting happiness. So the one who realizes that I don't need any other thing to be happy becomes Bhagwan. And those who feel that, oh, I want good food, I want good clothes to be happy, they never get complete happiness. So what is the main, you know, the mantra of this? That if you search for happiness in all over the world, except in yourself, you'll never get the happiness. But if you realize that nothing other than your own self can make you happy, then you'll need nothing. You'll be like richest person of the earth, that you don't require anything. You don't require millions of money. You don't require any good car, any good bungalow, any good dress. You're not dependent on anything. So what do Bhagwan teach us? They teach us to get independent. You don't need to depend on any other thing to get happiness. You're self-sufficient in getting happiness. Arush, is that clear?
Yes.
So Bhagwan is very, very, very much poor, right? Conclusion. Right?
Yes.
Is this a conclusion that Bhagwan is poor?
Oh, no.
Okay, so what's the conclusion it say? Bhagwan is poor or he's not? Yeah, so you're correct. Say. You're right. Arush?
Yes?
Bhagwan is whether he's poor or he is not?
They're not poor.
They're not poor. How can you say that? They don't have anything.
Because
they don't require anything. They don't need anything. Because they are vitragi, so they don't require anything, that's why they don't have anything. It's not like they don't have anything, therefore they're poor. They don't have anything, the reason is because they don't require anything. They are independent for their own happiness and they do not depend themselves on materialistic things to get happiness. Right? So therefore, our Bhagavans are like vitragi, they're sarvagya and they're hitopdeshi. So again, what we are doing here, we are doing the prayer to Bhagwan, right? So while we pray, we wish something, okay? So what are you wishing here? So now let's read these four lines. Oh God, you are what? You are Vitragi, you are Sarvagya and you are Hitopdeshi, you are devoid of attachments, you are omniscient and you are a well-being preacher. Listen to us. What are we saying? We are praying to you, what? That let my wrong belief means mithyatva. What do we mean by wrong belief? Wrong belief means mithyatva. Jaimin, what is wrong belief?
Mithyatva.
Mithyatva. Say mithyatva.
Mithyatva.
Mithyatva. Very good. Very good, Jaimin. Arjun, what is wrong belief?
Mithyatva.
Yeah, M-I-T-H-Y-A, mithya, then T-V-A, tva, tva, mithyatva. Say.
Mithyatva,
very good. So, wrong belief is mithyatva. What is it, Arush? Wrong belief means what?
Wrong belief means...
Mithyatva. Okay, so wrong belief means we know mithyatva. So who will explain me why we are praying in front of Bhagwan to destruction of a wrong belief? For the destruction of mithyatva. Who can explain me what is wrong belief? Like, explain me. Don't say mithyatva is wrong belief. Jaimin, ever heard about mithyatva?
No.
Okay. I'm sure we all have heard about mithyatva. Natasha, ever heard about mithyatva?
No.
No. Arjun, you also have not heard about mithyatva. Diya, do you know what is mithyatva?
Yes.
What is it?
Mithyatva is wrong belief.
Yeah, means elaborate it. Mithyatva is wrong belief means?
Like eating food fills our stomach full, but that's not real happiness.
Oh, very good. Okay, see, now what we're reading is the main, you know, center of the Jainism, okay? What Jainism says, it's very important, okay? Like when we have to get from first floor to second floor of our home, on the second story if I want to get, what do I have to use? Either I have to use elevator or I have to use lift, right? Or stairs, right? We'll go by stairs, we can take stairs, we can use elevators, right? Or escalators, whichever, whatever things we have at our home, right? All agree to me?
Yes.
Hello, all agree with me? To get to the second story from the first story, we have to use stairs, okay? So, stairs are what? They're, but, you know, step by step, we are getting, you know, towards closer to the second floor. One step, two step, third step, fourth step. So we are getting, you know, we are rising upwards, right? With each stair passing. The same way when we have to get into the liberation, Jainism has put up some stairs. There are 14 stairs. How many stairs in Jainism? 14. Okay? You have to pass through 14 stages. So really all. Sometimes you can, you know, miss two stairs and directly jump to the third stair. You can do that. If you have good height or you're good with the stairs, you can do that, right? So we have in Jainism we have 14 stairs to get into liberation. You have to cross
these
14
stairs. Excuse me, Adilbarji?
Yes.
Which slide are we on? I just arrived home from my last class, so I was just wondering.
Yeah, that Devstuti is slide number 2, the first paragraph. Oh God, devoid of attachments. Okay. So we are on letter wrong belief get destroyed. Okay. So so we have 14 states. We call it 14 Gunasthan. What do we call it? See, this is not what in our syllabus is. I'm just telling you, okay? Because we have to understand what wrong belief is, because it's the center of Jainism, okay? So what do we call these 14 states? 14 Gunasthan. What do we call it? 14 Gun Sthan. Gun, we know Gun means attribute. Gun and Sthan means place. Sthan. So Gun Sthan. So we are on we have a level of attribute. So we have this Gun Sthan. Okay? So now our Arhant Parameshthi, he is on 13th step. He is on 13th Gun Sthan. Arhantas are on which Gun Sthan? Sorry. Arhant Parameshthi is on which Gunasthan, Arush?
Yes.
Arhant Parameshthi on which Gunasthan? 13th. 1-3. He is very nearby to get to Moksha. Siddha Bhagwan has completed all the 14 steps and he is in Siddhashila. So he is out of the ladders. He is on second floor. He reached there. So he no more has to be on ladders. Arhant Bhagwan still has to go to Moksha. So he is on the topmost ladders of 13th and 14th. So he is on 13th and 14th. So Arhant Bhagwan is in which Gunasthan? 13th Gunasthan. Everybody is listening to me, right?
Yes.
Hello. Okay, so Arhant Bhagwan is on which Gunasthan? Anybody? Natasha on... 13th Gunasthan, generally we say, in 14th Gunasthan also, 14th Gunasthan, you know, it's very small period when Bhagwan is actually about to leave his body for the liberation, the 14th Gunasthan comes. So just before they start preparing for to leave their body, the 14th Gunasthan arrives. So we generally say that Arhantas are on 13th Gunasthan, okay? On 13th, generally, the general... Not being very specific, generally Arhantas are on 13th Gunasthan. Very good. Okay. Now, on what ladder are we? We have 14 ladders to get into the liberation.
Adibaji, can you repeat the question? I'm sorry, I did not hear it. Hello?
Yeah. I think we lost Anubhav ji, just a second.
Sachin ji?
Yeah?
I was wondering if you could, after the class is over, if you could send me the recording so I could hear what I missed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nope, thank you very much.
No problems. Anubhav ji, are you back? Let me check. I think we lost Anubhavji again.
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, one second, Jamin. Anubhavji got dropped off. He's just trying to join back.
Okay.
I think Anubhavji is struggling to join back. So anyways, let me take up from here. Can we have each one of you recite the Dev Stuti prayer one by one? So let's start with Jamin. Jamin, can you just say the first four lines of the Dev Stuti poem?
Okay. Oh God, devoid of attachments, omniscient, our well-being creature, let our wrong beliefs get destroyed by knowledge, son, fulfill prayer.
Very good, Jimin. Arush, can you?
May well be kind to our souls, and never speak the untruth. May we never do stealing. May we all practice celibacy.
Arush, I want you to say the same first four lines.
Okay, the first four lines?
Yeah.
Oh God, devoid of attachment, omniscient, our well-being creature, let our wrong beliefs get destroyed, by knowledge, thankful for prayer.
Okay, Natasha, can you now say the first four lines?
Okay. Oh God, devoid of attachment, omniscient, our well-being creature, let our wrong beliefs get destroyed by knowledge, son, fulfill prayer.
Arjun, can you say now the first four lines?
Sure. Oh God, devoid of attachments, oh Omniscient, our well-being creature, let our wrong beliefs get destroyed by knowledge, Son, fulfill prayer.
Good, Arjun. Diya, can you take the first four lines of the Ustuti poem?
Oh God, devoid of attachments, omniscient, our well-being creature, let our wrong beliefs get destroyed by knowledge and fulfilled prayer.
Good. Okay, so Peter, just a brief explanation of what we are praying in these four lines. As Anubhavji told, we are praying to the God, saying, "Oh God, devoid of attachments," means we are telling, "Oh God, you are Vitragi, omniscient, that is you are Sarvagnya, our well-being preacher, that means you are Hitopdeshi." So we are praying to the God, saying that, "Oh God, you are Vitragi, you are Sarvagnya, and you are Hitopdeshi." And we are saying, we are making a wish to the God, saying that, "Please destroy our wrong belief." Now, how will God destroy our wrong belief? God will not come and destroy our wrong belief. We have to destroy our wrong belief ourselves. But how can we do that? We can do that by praying to the God, by fulfilling the prayer. But when you fulfill the prayer, how is it that you are going to destroy your wrong belief? You will destroy wrong belief only by one thing, and that is knowledge. If you don't have the knowledge of what is right and what is wrong, how will you understand that whatever you are doing, whether it is correct or incorrect, whether it is right or wrong? Once again, Jayanandra Anubhavji. Yeah, Anubhavji, actually what we did was I continued with the class and I asked everyone to say the Devastuti poem four lines, and we were going through the explanation of four lines. Yeah, Anubhavji, I guess you can, you know, speak the phone. I am keeping the phone in the speaker. Yeah, I am keeping the phone on the speaker, so people should be able to hear you.
Can you all hear me?
Arjun,
can you all hear me?
Arjun, Jamin, Natasha, Arush, are you able to hear Anubhavji?
Not really. It's very faint. I can't hear him.
Yeah.
Okay, what we'll do, it's already time, I guess, 7 a.m.
Yeah.
So, we'll come.
Now I can hear you much better.
Okay, so we can, the time is up. So, let's wind up the class. Arjun, you say Namokar Mantra, and Jamin Chattari Mangalam. Join your hands
okay.
And close your feet.
Namo Arihantanam, Namo Siddhanam, Namo Ayariyanam, Namo Ujjayanam, Namo Loesavasahunam. Eso Panchanamokaro, Sawa Pawa Panasano, Mangalanam Chasawisim, Paramam Hohi Mangalam.
Chattari Mangalam, Arihanta Mangalam, Siddha Mangalam, Sahu Mangalam, Kevli Pranto Dhamma Mangalam. Chattari Lugutma, Arihanta Lugutma, Siddha Lugutma, Sahu Lugutma, Kevli Pranto Dhamma Lugutma. Chattari Shanam Pavajami, Arihanta Shanam Pavajami, Siddha Shanam Pavajami, Sahu Shanam Pavajami, Kevli Pranto Dhamma Shanam Pavajami.
Okay, thanks to all of you. Jai Jinendra.
Jai Jinendra.
Thank you. And if possible, can you please send me the recording?
Yeah, sure, Arjun. We'll send over.
Thank you. Jai Jinendra.
Jai Jinendra.